took me all day just to do nothing.
Doing nothing is harder than people think.
It just wears you out.
Yeah, I know.
You know, maybe we should start with first of all, thank you for your time. I'm very grateful.
Oh, you're welcome.
For this. I did a residency at the Morris Graves Foundation.
Yeah, that's what you were saying.
Yeah, and I came down here, and then it was delayed a couple of days, and I'm interested in Cascadia, the bioregion. Mm-hmm. The people who are interested in geology say that it starts where the San Andreas Fault goes into the ocean, so Cape mm-hmm. Mendocino, mm-hmm. and includes the Eel River mm-hmm. at the very south. So these two things. And so we're extreme southern Cascadia, if you look at it that way. And so I was looking at some of the history, and I came across the story. And then later I came across the Al Jazeera story.
Oh, right.
And so I guess what would probably be the best thing is to ask you about the history of your tribe. Mm-hmm. And you say Wiat tribe, right? Mm-hmm. That's how you pronounce it.
Wiat, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us about the history of the tribe?
Well, we're here. We have been here for a long time. The history of the Wiat tribe. Grandmother says we were always here. What was really interesting is that my grandmother, she was raised her kids. My mom helped raise the kids because she was the eldest. And so they would go to work, so Mama would stay home watching the children. And so Grandma wasn't really that much of a grandma because she was working full-time. And she started raising her own grandchildren. And by the time the end of her life, she was raising her great-grands. And so I never got to know her as other. She was my grandmother, but never had to sit down and talk with her until I moved home from San Francisco in 71. For the next 3 years, I pestered her. And she let me know that I was becoming a pest. Because I would come back after work and I'd say, okay, or on a Saturday or a Sunday, okay, Grandma, I got some questions. And so that's most of what I learned was from my grandmother, my mother's mother. And part of that is that we've always been here in this vicinity. Mm-hmm. The Creator put us here. This is where the Creator put his people. And how we populated the people was by his young woman who had two children, a brother and a sister. And she made a big basket and she put the children in the basket. And this is one of our creation stories. And in the basket, put provisions in it, and then she laced the basket out and put a top over it. And when the rains came, set them out. And then when the rains receded, the water receded, they found themselves here. This is where we are from. This is where, because we also have the big flood story. And like many across the world have a flood story. And so that's, you know, a combination of things. And so we settled here. I don't know if that's what I want to say. I think it's just that we have always been here. This is where the Creator put us. And in that years of, you know, our first contact with the Dequa, which is the newcomers or white people, and that was around probably around 1850, maybe before that, just, you know, a couple of years before that for contact. And then we've always been here. We survived the earthquakes, we survived other floods and forest fires and stuff, so we've always been here. And in 1850 is when California became a state, and that's when the militia start, you know, personal militias and militias from the government, from the state, came and said, well, the manifest destiny, you come across the United States and just gobble up whatever you got. And that's what they did here, and no different. They gobbled up the land because nobody owned it. You know that story. And, well, not that we own it, that we take care of it. Mm. And we don't have ownership, but But we have stewardship. Mm-hmm. And in that stewardship, we took care of things. Mm-hmm. We took care of the bay. We took care of the trees. We made our dugouts. We gathered food, whether it was abalone, mussel, clams, salmon, trout, you know, oysters. We had all of that here, and, you know, a land of plenty, and we did that. We lived on the rivers. We lived on Potawatomi, which is now called Mad River. We lived on the Eel River. We lived on Elk River, and all these rivers, plus we lived around the bay. There's many settlements around the bay. And in that, we, redwood trees, those were precious. Precious to us because it gave us our livelihood to get into the ocean and out of the ocean, you know, going up river and down river. We needed those big trees to make our dugouts, our canoes. And then all of a sudden, we have an influx of people. Then gold was discovered. Mm-hmm. And we were a jump-off point. Humboldt County, Humboldt Bay, was a jump-off point going into the Trinities. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of things happened. A good book to read would be Little White Father. It's by the historical Humboldt County Historical Society. Mm-hmm. Ray Raphael was the author of that. And that is a good book. Mm-hmm. It doesn't paint a pretty picture mm-hmm. of the Wiat people. He says that we were not very bright and, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And you just look at him and say, what do you know about being bright? Mm-hmm. We've been here for thousands of years. What can you say? Mm-hmm. You know, only because of the Wiat people that the Josiah Gregg Party, or the Gregg Party and Wood Party, survived because they stumbled out of the woods starving, and mm-hmm. the Wiat people nurtured them. Mm-hmm. The bay at one time, to my recollection of what my grandmother said, was weegee, you know, a bay, big water. And so Humboldt, they liked the, was he a botanist or something like that?
I don't know.
Von Humboldt. But there's a lot of Humboldt counties in the United States, there's a couple of Humboldt colleges, you know, Humboldt State University mm-hmm. used to be called Humboldt College. Anyway, all of this happened, and in 49, the gold rush, and people start running here, the jump-off point to go into the Trinity.